Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget, for all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina, on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake, for all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info.
Now let's get this show started.
What the heck are you doing?
I'm getting ready for turkey season, man.
What's up, guys? It's the final cast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Matt.
What's going on, dude? How you doing?
Not too bad, man. It like rain casting dogs and we're in a tornado watch all day, so that sucked. But, you know, whatever.
We're still under it, actually. And actually, the sky looks really weird. It's like yellow right now.
That'll happen. So this would be the best podcast ever if you just see like me get sucked out my basement window.
Yeah, that's crazy though. Last time we had a tornado come through here, it was like 6 miles from my house, and I didn't wake my wife up and she got mad. She's like, our tornado was right there. I'm like, I was sitting outside looking for it, I didn't see it.
Yeah, I was just laying in bed and the tornado, it was like, we got the warning. It's like, well, one's touched down here. And once I was like, whatever, if I die, I die. I don't really care. Like, I'm tired. I just want to lay in bed. And then my wife got me up and we came down with the dogs and then nothing happened. I went upstairs like 45 minutes later and yeah, chilled.
Yeah.
So.
Well, what's new in your box, dude? Anything new?
This week, not really. I've got some more terminal. Let's see. Well, I take that back. I bought like 9 more packs of Joshies because you can never have too many Joshies.
Yeah.
Joshies. Oh, dude, all day long. And then I got some, I just put an order in for Jigmaster again to get more sled heads because the river is unforgiving and steals all my stuff. So, and I had to buy another Mega Bass Vision 110 because the river stole my stuff. That one hurt. Dude, it hurt really. I was bank fishing before work yesterday, and I cast it out, and I'm an idiot. I was only in like 4 foot of water. I was like, this plus one will be fine. I'll just hold the rod tip up. It wasn't fine. It caught the first rock it found, and just, yeah.
You need that 110 junior.
I do, man. I have a couple, but I need to get some more.
I need one.
I need to get some more.
I ended up buying a line spooler that actually Brad Hurlboss posted in the group chat, so I'm kind of pumped to try that out because, like I said, I was a hot mess in my garage, and my line spool fell off the kayak while I was reeling my line in, and it got tangled all over my trailer, all in the kayak.
Dude, that's the worst, man. That's why, like, getting line stuck around the kayak, because there's always something to get stuck on. Like, whenever I'm putting a leader on in the boat, I drop my line when we were down Dale Hollow over the side, and my line's floating there, but it's getting wrapped, like, in my on my rods, my Yak Gadget side, the stagers. And then I was like, oh no. So I put the motor in reverse and my motor sucked it up and sucked half the line into the prop. Dude, it was, yeah. Yeah, dude, it was a great day.
Yeah. Well, we got a cool episode planned for you guys. Matt, he's a big, I was going to say jerk bait. That's true. But he's a big swim bait guy. So we're going to talk big swim bait. I can't talk right now. We're going to talk about big swim baits. So we'll bring Nick Necrelli on to talk big swim baits in the river with us. What's up, dude?
Yo, what's going on, fellas?
Oh, not much. How you doing, man?
Great.
Thanks for having me.
You're actually second time on the show, man. So yes. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So do you want to do another introduction in case somebody hasn't heard before?
Sure. Yeah. My name's Nick. I live in Indianapolis. I fish the rivers and streams around here. Primarily, I would say, love smallmouth fishing and try to not always play by the traditional, I think, smallmouth rules of, you know, a little bit more finesse-based approach. I like to see where I can upsize and try to find a little bit bigger fish if I can. But with that being said, I am in no way an expert on swim baits, because if the wrong person would hear that, I even though I'm not known in that community, I would probably be eviscerated. So I've had success around here and up in the Ottawa National Forest and some lakes up there with different swim baits, not up north really with on the river, but around here, and a couple other places around the state where I think there are times to invest in throwing a bigger bait. Even though it's true, you don't always catch the biggest fish, you don't, but that's okay. There's still fun to catch fish.
You don't catch very many jimmies, that's for sure. So I give you some credit.
You would be surprised.
Really?
Yeah, I had like a 7-inch one bite a 3-ounce rat. Like,
jeez.
Like this thing. Sure.
That's crazy.
And the fish ate the front treble. So it wasn't like swiping at it. It was going.
Yeah. I have zero confidence in this stuff, so it's gonna be interesting to talk about. So,
well, that's all right, because I think a lot of people are reluctant, and it doesn't have to be intimidating. It can be easier if you look at things in a certain perspective. If you put a 4-inch paddle tail on a jackhammer, you're looking at a 5.5-inch bait. So,
yeah,
if you then pick up.
I didn't realize it was that long. That's crazy.
And then if you pick up, for example, a Megabass 6-inch freestyle Magraph, not a freestyle, just a Magraph with the bottom treble here, that's only 6 inches. It's not much bigger. It's a little bit heavier. You don't need anything dedicated for this. But if that is, and I think these are like 1.25 ounces, but if you wanted to throw a 5-inch, you have the Mag Slow, which is I think right at 1 ounce. These things both catch fish. As the slows would say, this is definitely a slow moving bait. I kind of got on that bite because of Chum Water Boys Outdoors or TV. It's a YouTube channel. It's a guy in Missouri who fishes a bunch of streams and stuff, and he's a guy who can fish. And he runs these little, you know, summer streams that aren't big. They have some deep spots. And that's where I think these baits, like, kind of shine, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
I would agree. Now, I'm new to the smallmouth swim bait game. I've been throwing smallies, not been throwing smallmouth, I promise. I put them right back in. I've been...
Chuck it.
Yeah.
I throw smallmouth over in the mountains, boy.
Yeah.
I usually just try to hook that Rockies into the side of my boat.
Oh, the way! Oh! I've done that before.
Oh, I've done it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Yeah, but I've fished a lot of swim baits for largies and whatnot, and you know that even on smaller, like down south when you're in rivers and whatnot, they're more largemouth populated. It's not just like kind of you said, you're already throwing larger baits than you think you are.
Yeah.
So while it can be intimidating, especially because you already brought it up, the swim bait community, you start researching, looking at it. I mean, it can be super intimidating because there'll be guys, if you ask a question, they'll rip your head off.
I didn't have too much of that, to be honest. And I've actually found that if you ask the right questions to the right people, and you can kind of tell by people's demeanor, you know, you just be like, "Hey, I'm new. This is what I'm having. This is what I have. This is what I'm looking for." I found some really like nice people and some really good deals on Swim Bait Universe. I've not done that in a long time. nothing against it, I just haven't. And but I wound up buying a couple baits off the same person, and totally fair versus what they were being listed for on eBay. And
yeah,
something in with you know, I had a couple people that would toss in a used it was like a used battleship, not a battleship, a citizen once, and yeah, so that's an option too. But like you, I would watch some tactical bassing.
Yeah,
YouTube search swim baits, and if you're into kayaks, like Skinny Water Boys TV, he's a Texas dude. He's not doing so much the smallmouth stuff, although they are in some of those Texas rivers. But he's doing a lot of swim baits in a river, and it all kind of applies. So,
Yeah, no, I would agree. It's if you once you get over that intimidation factor, I mean, swim baits bring a whole nother aspect to your fishing game. And I tell you what, I'm a big jerkbait guy. I love catching them on jerkbaits, but I don't think there's any bite I've ever had that beats a nice swim bait bite. If you're getting big glides or even, you know, bigger swim baits or even smaller swim baits, like a 5-inch spark shad, you know, it's an awesome bite. So
check this out. Is this something you guys would throw?
I bet it catches.
What's that?
I bet it catches because there's a lot of people who make those crawler style baits, and they're all like, they're pretty aggressive. I don't have any.
Yeah, if you go on YouTube and go, it's Marlin TV. I think he's a bait creator, and he actually like hand carves all these baits, and he's made a ton of crawlers, and he does videos from make to catch, and he'll literally make it in the same video and then go catch a fish on it. And I don't own any, but I would agree with Nick. I bet that thing catches.
Yeah. This is a guy that used to be on, or I was on Team Bonafide with him. He makes his own custom baits, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, 3.5 ounces, 4 inches long. I'm like, dang, that thing's huge for being 4.5 inches long.
Yeah, actually, I think it's either Depths or Megabass makes a crawler style bait.
Megabass makes a crawler. Depths does too. I can't remember what the name of the Megabass one is.
Yeah, and I know like there was a downsized version I almost bought last year because of the cicada spawn or hatch.
Oh yeah.
It was like their little baby cicada thing. It looked like it would be pretty good.
Matt got a couple of those, I think.
I have one of those. Yeah. I can't remember what they're called. This is going to bug the crap out of me.
Anyway. So like, when do I like to throw this? The 6-inch, what is this thing called? The mag draft. I like this thing in the summertime. I like it when the water clears up around some of those deeper pools. You can still move it fairly quickly, I feel like, but it's not a burn style bait, in my opinion. I think it kind of tends to blow out and get a little bit of a kink and a roll to it that's not sustainable. But they come out of nowhere and trash it. I caught a couple really, really nice ones last summer waiting, like August and July, September time, where just thrown around deeper pockets and pools, and they hate it. It's great. One of the first ones I caught was on the Slows, and it was in like 10 inches of water and just ran up behind it out of nowhere. Totally fun bite. And if, like I said, with that 6-inch, it's supposed to weigh 1.25 ounces. That's not a super crazy rod, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, a heavy or whatever. And it doesn't have to be like a powerhouse rod, really. It's okay to have a little bit of play in that rod. If they get a hold of that hook, they're probably caught. I've not had too many to come off. Anyway, if they did come off, they weren't worth catching. So whatever.
Yeah.
Jim here, whatever. Their rock bass came out of nowhere. I've never had that happen on a mag draft. The plop diesel is another story. Those things hate the diesel.
Oh, yeah.
I
was going to go back to the rod thing. I believe, Matt, I can't remember, the 744F that we use, I think it throws 1.5 ounces, don't it?
The 7.4 FF throws from a 7/16 to a 2 ounces.
Does it really?
I mean, yeah, and that's what's so crazy about that rod, because it's ridiculously sensitive, but it could throw this all day long without any issue. Yeah. And it has, like you said, it has play in it to where they get that treble hook in their mouth that swivels and has a magnet in there, but swivels around. You can keep pressure on the fish, and like he said, once if they're on it, they got that hook, typically 9 times out of 10 they're caught, or they're just so small and they actually don't really have the hook.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like, I throw mine either on my Dobbins 7.64, which is a 7'6" heavy, or on the the Champ 7.35, which is like a medium heavy, extra fast or whatever.
Yeah,
they throw up to 1.5 ounces, and they do fine on both. That's typically what I throw them on. I can throw them on more dedicated gear. If I wanted to, but I probably wouldn't. So we've kind of done the mag draft. What do we want to move on to? Any more questions?
Is that mag draft is like your first choice go-to lure for the river?
I wouldn't say my first choice, because I kind of treat it a little bit more seasonal. And it's more depending on the water clarity. I guess I should have said that. In the summertime, when it kind of stops raining, your water tends to get lower, a little bit more clear. I think because a lot of the colors are, a little bit more shaddy, translucent.
Yeah.
Ones that I have. I'm sure there's some brighter ones, but they're pretty natural, I feel like. So I just I've had more success when there's water's been a little clearer, or clearing up. Like recently, it's rained a ton here. So, this would not be what I'm going to throw whenever I get out next, and I'll have a swim bait rod with me for sure. Right now in springtime, I've been throwing like glide baits that I can move fast. I have a big thing about fishing on the river with speed. Now to be totally polar opposites in every single way, like the goat of swim baiting, Bush Brown, California guy, like knows everything about the Debs 250. The guy's incredible. He even tunes him a special way. Look him up on Instagram. He's amazing. He's on Cass and Craig podcast. Nick has interviewed him 3 or 4 times. And even if you have zero intention of fishing swim baits at all, you'll learn something. Huge takeaways from those interviews. But he throws a big Debs 250. And if you watch the way that he throws it, again, he's in reservoirs in California. Totally different than what we're doing. But there's a, he has a way of fishing that slow, big draw. Now, is he also going to pause it and give it kicks so it moves? Sure. I mean, he has his own thing. That's why he's caught so many over 10 pounds. The guy's ridiculous. He handles him.
We have like 4 of those in Ohio.
Yeah, but he's like a scientist too. Like a lot of the really dedicated big bait anglers. Like, when you listen to Bush talk, he's talking about moon tables, lunar cycles, because on the coast too, you also on some of those lakes, you kind of got to pay attention to the tide. There's like a lot of things, and if some of those, like, he's just been able to fish, and he has it dialed. But that's like a slower type thing, I feel like. Now, what I like to do is, like, I like to hit it. I want a like a glide that's gonna really pop and move quick, that I can make like I can reel, I can burn, I can pause, and then I can and I can hit it. If you were to YouTube something that I kind of emulate at like a kind of a higher clip, mostly on the river because of the current, there's a lot of Japanese anglers who throw the clash or the tiny clash. And those baits, actually, I caught a big one on a TK in March, and I had a second one on the line for a second. You could hit those baits with your reel handle.
I've seen Greg Blanchard do that.
Yeah, and they really – you get a real quick chop. So, like, a lot of times, like in the summertime or even right now, I'll throw that glide out and I'll let it hit. But then I want to hit hard once, two, three times and really get that thing to move. Mm-hmm. If I'm throwing it up to an area, it's because it's for a reason. And like a place that I would put that would be in an eddy, you know, behind a lay down, behind rocks. I'll even bring it through the end of a riffle if I think it's deep enough and there's one sitting there.
Yeah.
And again, because I do think it's important that people can, you know, if they want to do this, it shouldn't be impossible to get a bait. That's frustrating part of it. So, you know, I would, you know, again, this is like tactical bassing 101, but like the S Waver 168. And then what I like to do is I like to hit this front joint on the back end with some sandpaper, and I file it out and I sand it out. And what that does is it just makes it like choppier, and you can hit it harder and move it in place in an erratic way. Because if I'm going to throw it up and cover, as Matt Allen and Tim Lowe would say, it's a cover glide versus like a wide open, you know, glide that's going to have a 3 foot, you know, wingspan cut. Mm-hmm.
Is that one right there kind of similar to the Sixth Sense speed glide that Brian gave us, Matt?
No, the speed glide is more like maybe no and yes. I don't know. Like the speed glide's meant to be a glide to where you can work it super quick. Mm-hmm. And it's not to where, like, when he's throwing one of a glide that, like, the S Waver or the TK, or, you know, if I'm throwing like something like the draw or something,
yeah,
you can really play with the reel and get it to do some things. Like, if you want it to make big loops, you can, or you can, like you were saying, chop that reel and get it going back and forth really quick. The S Waver is more just a retrieve bait, throw it out. I mean, you can play with the reel a little bit, but it doesn't have a huge glide on it, or even a small glide. It's more just kind of
I never found success with that Sixth Sense Flowrider or whatever it's called. Flowrider, isn't that a rapper? Yes. whatever it's called.
The speed glide.
Yes. I love Sixth Sense. I throw a ton of their stuff. But I could personally just throw that one out. It's me. I don't know. But no, if you just, when you stand that bevel down, it just makes it hit a little bit harder. And you can kind of throw it up behind something, because I'm going to try to move it quick.
Yeah.
Is what I'm sort of going for. Not all summertime, I'm going to slow down a little bit because the water should be more clear, should be less of it. So the F Waver 168, like a 6-inch. I think the same rod you guys were talking about with throw the things is fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry too much about it. And then also one too that's slightly bigger is the G-Rat Sneaky Pete. It's like a 6-inch. And this has a really nice quick action too. This is a fun bait to toss around, and you can move it, and it has just more draw power. That's a lot of things too. Like in the summertime, like when I go out, like let's say I'm waiting, and I can, you know, I'm taking a little bit more time to hit a spot. I like to throw a glider around. You know, obviously if I can catch fish on it, sweet. But you can just pull so many fish out from where they are. And they're just like, what is it? And they just,
Matt.
Yeah. See, I told, that's what I tell everyone. Like when I go out, people in Ohio, and I'm sure people in the indie are the same way. But when I'm throwing something like this around, they're like, oh, what are you planning on catching with that? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, if I catch something on it, that's great. Like, that's awesome. But bass are so, the curiosity gets over them so quick that you can draw them out of where they're at. You can watch them come up and look at it and then watch them turn straight back to where they came from and go away right to where they came from. So then you can start targeting those spots. Yeah. It's more of a draw thing for me. So
that's a fun thing to do. Like, I did that last summer. I just draw out these, and I was throwing like a giant bait around, like a 9-inch, you know, inch bait, totally just seeing what would happen and to see how it would swim in the river. It was a lot of speed, but I was pulling jimmies out of nowhere. I mean, they would just follow just a pack of them, and then you'd see a bigger one off at the, you know, stand back a minute, and then, you know, I'd throw out, I don't know, a tube or something and hammer. But fun way to fish. And once you, again, like every glide, if you throw it enough, and you're going to learn what that bait kind of wants to do, what speed you can just rip it with. And some will do better than others. It's just sort of part of it.
Yeah.
But you know, the Sneaky Pete, you can definitely move water with this, which I like.
That one looks really good.
Yeah, this is like a bass color. I think that's a great color.
Well, that's the ugly bass. That's not the pretty bass.
It's the green one. So,
I don't know. I think I'm going to start off like, I don't know where to start. You know what I mean? So I'm going to try to throw that glider on this here a little bit and see what I can do.
And that's an easy bait. That's a bait you can get on any site that has.
Yeah.
You know, river to sea stuff.
Yep. That and a bull shad. I've wanted to throw a bull shad for a while. I just never bought one.
We can, let me get to another bait or two on the glide side, and we'll talk about that jointed style bait for a second. Another one that's very accessible. This is the Bait Sanity Explorer Gill.
Explorer Gill, yep.
So I have actually not caught a fish in the river with this yet, but I have been hitting on him at the legendary trash pond here in Indy. This is a great bait that you can find. If it's not on Tackle Warehouse, which is where I bought this one, I know they're on Hookup Tackle. Matt, you know
Hookup Tackle.
I know Hookup Tackle. He's on those Japanese reels. Get him. I did get a Japanese made Kronos, and it's awesome. Bait Sanity Explorer Gill, really cool. You can actually buy a tail. There's a different tail that has like a paddle tail to it, has real cool action. And if you look at the Bait Sanity I assume website, as well as their Instagram, there's like swim videos on this, as well as on Instagram you can check out my guy, the Bass Interceptor. He's a South Florida dude fishing for largies and peacocks and whatever else is down there. And he totally wrecked them on this bait. And once I think it gets a little bit warmer, I think this will be a player. And I think you can kind of put that in that cover glide area because it has a pretty quick little sharp turn on it. It looks great. I actually had a bluegill like 2 weeks ago fly out of nowhere right at the bank and absolutely trash this thing. And I caught it in the mouth. That's was like, awesome. Oh my God, just charged it. Real fun bait to play with and throw. And actually the package comes with some tungsten stick-on strips if you want it to sink a little bit quicker. Pretty cool. Two tails to a package. Real neat bait. That one's cool. This is going to be a river thing.
Painted soon. Rocky color, man.
Soon. I'd love it, dude. I love it.
That would be cool. A bait like that would be like really good at I'm not going to say the name, but Matt knows the place, a little tiny lake around here.
Yep.
I want to see you catch something on that one that you held up before we started the show at that place. The bluegill looking one.
Oh, this.
Yes, I want to see you catch one at that place on that.
Yeah, this is I got this in the Dark Horse Champions box, It's made by Dark Corner Custom Crankbaits. He hand painted that. It's part of the Champions box. And this, this was smack there.
Oh, you're going to catch on that for sure. That thing looks,
oh, yeah,
that looks great.
Oh, that looks,
I mean,
looks
good on it. The paint's money. You'll be fine. And actually, I think it helps to have a little bit more flash and color on them because you can see the bait. It does.
Yeah.
Since we talked about it a little bit earlier, Tiny Clash, this bait is a very versatile bait. You can.
That's an OG right there. That Tiny Clash is not OG really. I mean, it kind of is. I mean, it's well known. Like, you can catch almost any type of fish on a Tiny Clash.
So if anybody is curious about these, you can put in different style lips and different kind of tails. So the first thing you would notice is that some people say the tail is upside down. Now, what that tail does, this is for actually a canine. So just a quick tutorial. If you have the tail up like this, my camera, I'm failing, and a lip in, this works like a big crank down crankbait. It looks awesome. I pulled one out of a hole last spring. That same day, I think I caught like a 19 or two and another like really big 17, almost 18. So I'd seen big fish that day, and I pulled one cranking this thing down that like had like a tabletop back that was like, it was frightening how nasty that thing looked. But to get back to the glide point, when you put this tail down, you can hit that like a quick cover glide, but they came out with what's called the transfer tail, which is that same tail, but the corners are rounded. Now, what I like about this, just to go back to what we talked about speed earlier, is, and I caught one this way that was 18 and a half this in March. And like I said, I'm almost positive I had a second hooked with it because the second fish came up when I pulled it up at the boat. I was ripping this thing on a point where a river split. Actually, I hadn't fished in a long time, but I was throwing up on this riprap on this point, and just, I mean, I was burning it back. I pause it, and then whoop, bow up on her, and we get additional pressure. But big fish, this fish is a bait that I can move, and that's why I like to fish it. I have the same one of these in a floating version as well. That I caught some really big fish on last summer. Both ways, burning it as well as putting a lip in and cranking it down. Tiny Clash, if you can get your hand on one, is a great bait. It gets thrown in that hype bait category, but it's not a hype bait. It catches fish. I think it's a very versatile bait for what you get out of it. Do a lot with it. I would suggest that. And one more glide, and we're going to move on to the segmented one. This is the River City Swim Baits Glide out of Richmond, Virginia. Again, bass color. I think he did make a smallmouth, or he will at some point. This is like a right at 2 ounce, maybe a little less, 6 inch glide. And again, you can move it. And it has, for whatever reason, this little guy right here does have some pull. There's some dudes that live around here who, for the just being cool about fishing, I'm not going to put them on a spot here, but I'm not the only one throwing that bait and a couple others by River City around here. Great baits. Again, he does small drops. That's one, you know, you would probably want to set your notification on for like Instagram or whatever, but super nice guy out in Richmond, Virginia, makes a really good bait, a good product. And I've had success both with largemouth and smallmouth on that one.
I didn't realize that you could, or they came with attachments like that. You could, you know, swap out in and out of. That's pretty cool.
That's by a company called that Tiny Clash. Brad's talking about Tiny Clash. That's made by Division Rebel Tackles, or DRT. Super innovative Japanese company, because they are all super innovative Japanese companies. And that's also too why I love, like, sometimes I'll find myself in a YouTube deep dive, and you'll get on to some of these people fishing these baits, and they're meticulous, and it's calculating, and it's repetition, and it's like everything that you would, I think, you know, say about that kind of culture, about a lot of things, 1000% applies to the way a lot of these people fish, especially fish for largemouth. And, you know, mm-hmm. the world record was caught there in Lake Biwa. There's giant fish there. And you should just the way they move and control the bait with just their reel.
Yeah.
It's really cool to watch. And the way they film a lot of the videos is like, they'll have the main video, then they'll replay it and they'll blow it up so that you could see like where the bait is taken. Mm-hmm. You get to see the hands the first time and then see how the fish ate the bait. Super cool videos. But yeah, Tiny Clash, really cool.
Do those things like snap in, or they have like issues falling off for any time or
what? No. The only time that I've broken like the lip, they just kind of pop in. There's like usually three pieces and just, and then okay, the tail slide in and out.
Okay.
There. And there's a V tail, there's a standard tail, and then there's the, whatever the other tail I called, forget. Transfer tail.
The transfer tail.
Yeah. And then this is just the lip here, and they just pop in. Like, I like.
That's pretty cool.
I like the V tail with like the short lip, and you can do what's called like you pop it with your rod tip, and you use reel bumps, and you can do what's called the dead walk, and it just kind of just goes, and kind of you can just play with it. It's almost, think of it as a big jerk bait.
Yeah, that's what I was running through my mind. That's the first thing that popped up, jerk bait.
Yeah, that's the dope thing about the Tiny Clash, because it is a little bit more expensive of a bait. I mean, if you get them brand new from Hookup or anywhere that you can find them, they're, I want to say they're like $75. And then if you miss a drop or miss them when they're in stock, they're on eBay for like $180, $190. But the good thing about that bait for $75 when you do get it is, just like you said, you can dead walk it, so you, it makes it act like a jerk bait. You can do a put the other lip in and make it in the tail, make it act like a crank, or you can make it act like a cover glide. Like it's a super versatile bait to where you could have it tied on one rod and do three different techniques with it.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it's not like so huge that you're like feel like you're throwing this around all day and you're like, oh, I'm getting followers and I'm seeing where they're at, but I'm not catching.
It's about 2 ounces.
That will
not.
Yeah, night. Exactly.
And if you do some searching, you can find knockoff versions off certain places, and they're out there.
I was gonna ask about the weight. So throwing these things, do these things sink real fast since they're heavy, or
most of them? No, I think for that reason a lot of them are like a slow sink. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think everything that I've put in front of you was pretty much a slow sink in one way or another. Like even the mag draft and the slows, they're not easy to snag up. Like you have to sort of put it in a, you know, you have to have a little bit of common sense. You don't want to throw it into a mat. I mean, it's not going to work. Yeah. And
big log jam.
That I struggle with around here, even though, you know, I like I said, I fish the White River. Where I fish a lot of times here in town, it's a fairly weedy, algae-ish sort of river, and it's not like just boulders and stuff. So got to pay attention. But both of these things, you know, like if I'm in a trash pond, I have more problems hooking snapping turtles than like snagging the bait. It's brutal. Yeah, it's terrible.
Stupid. I've been there, done that. I literally lost a citizen because I got a snapper on it, caught it, cut my citizen in half. And I was like, dude, that was a wait till 1 a.m. type of bait to get. And it cost me $50 and now it's gone.
Yeah. I've had a story or two. Things are cool animals until you snag one, and then they're real happy and fun to play with.
Oh yeah, especially if you have a nice bit like I've hooked one. I was in the Marine Corps, we had a little supply. We had a little pond. There was no fish on it, but I had my rod in my truck, And I was just throwing in there anyway, because I had a new crankbait. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Of course, I caught the only snapping turtle in that whole freaking pond.
Oh, yeah.
And like 15 Marines run over. I don't have any of my like my pliers or anything with me. And this thing's right in its mouth. I was like, dude, I don't want to leave this thing because it'll just like die. Well, it won't die. Alligators or snapping turtles are just ridiculous. They'll live through anything. And I was like, I got to get this out. And then my buddy brought over a stick and we just start popping at the bait to get it come out. And it came out and he bit the stick in half.
Yeah.
Like, or a broom handle. And I was like, this is just go away. Go away.
I caught a softbill last summer. I was up by the one dam that I ever fish. And I see a disturbance off top of the bank. I'm like, okay, good cast there. I can probably see what's happening. Throw in the plop diesel, throw it up there. Two reel handles, destroys it. You know, you get that half second because it bit at the I caught on the front treble. It was terrible. And of course those soft shells, they just suck their heads in when you get them in.
Yeah.
I hate that. With a war with that goddamn thing.
I was about to say, I've never caught a snapping turtle, but I've caught quite a few soft shells.
Well, yeah, I did. Luckily that thing swam off. I got it out. It was fine. But yeah, the snapping turtles at the pond suck.
Yeah.
You want to do segmented baits, such as a, you were talking about a bull shad?
Yeah, let's definitely go into segmented because the bull shad you can get almost everywhere now.
Yeah.
So that's super easily attainable and an easy fish or bait to fish.
I have one of these ugly ones that I painted with a painted. I used a scent marker. It's real crappy. This is just a bone one, and this thing works. It's a more
Let's
of a
see the paint job on that. Yeah, that's cool.
Paint job is a, I would say, a very strong word for what this is. This is a scent marker that I drew on. It's terrible.
I was like, yeah, that's interesting. I've never seen one like that.
Picasso.
Interesting is a polite way of saying that sucks. Again, more of a bait that you can move kind of quickly. Mike Buka, who is the inventor of the bull shad, he's an advocate of a quicker retrieve speed. But once you figure out the sink rate on these, you can throw these up along stuff, count it down, start moving it. Again, I like to kind of rip it around, burn, pause. You give this thing some rod tips, and it'll shoot off one way or another. And when you get a bite on this, I mean, they don't like it. They're going in to smash it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A fun bite to get on.
Yeah, those have always interested me. Even the baby bull shads, I mean, what, 3.5 inches long? Something like that. So it's not too intimidating, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, at all. It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I was about to say, I mean, you're throwing jigs that are longer enough. Jackhammer that's 2 inches longer, 2.5 inches longer than the baby bull. So,
I mean, those are okay little baits. I'm not trying to trash
them. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, for somebody first starting out, if they want to gain the confidence to go bigger, they could start there and work their way up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
Or you jump in the Smalley Games May Big Meat Challenge and you throw a 7-inch fluke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are fun to throw.
Shout out to Love the Cast.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, those are fun to catch fish on. I've done it with largemouth. But no, the segmented baits are good when you're moving water. I like these a lot of times in muddy water when the water's up, ripping around after storms and stuff. Just because you can cover water, you can throw it at cover because you're probably not going to be sitting there too long with this, and you just rip it around. I like it when, like I said, when the water's up, shore's flooded, those fish are going to push close, and you just hammer. And especially when the current's moving more, you just reel faster. And then pop it and move it around. They're going to come off the bottom and smash it, or they're not. It's sort of a one way or another bite, but totally fun bite. Especially, I love that bite, that odd end of July storm, August storm. Water is real warm in the 80s, and go full wet boy and get in there and start throwing that thing around. So bull shad, I think this is a 5 or 6 inch bull shad. I like that one. I do. What do I do with that? I don't have any catches on it yet because I've only thrown it once. But this is the 6-inch. I think it's called the Trace.
Those look good.
This is like, I think 5 3/4 inches or real close to 6, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that a rubber tail?
Yeah, so there's a rubber tail that comes with 2 in a package. And again, it pulls out of the top.
Okay.
You can buy different tails too. I've not fished this a ton, but I think under like a muddy water application or even when it's super clear and they're really moving around and feeding on the river, yeah, I'm very confident that it's gonna catch. It looks real good in the water. You can move it quick. I've thrown it around just a little bit one afternoon, but again, the water was 54 or 53. It wasn't real warm. Sort of that beginning spinnerbait bite is when I've tried this out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So those are a couple of segmented ones. I don't toss a too many multi-piece ones. I sort of, like I said, unless the water is really moving around, that's kind of like my favorite time to fish that bait. Or like in a dam. I've caught fish before.
Yeah, I can see these big swim baits working really well at dams. You just got to be careful because there's a lot of snags there.
I was about to say.
That's the thing. You got to kind of know where you're fishing. The one that I kind of go to, there's spots where, I mean, if I'm throwing a swim bait on that place, it's usually a segmented thing, bait, like the ones I just showed, just because I can move them and keep them above whatever's down there.
Yeah. Yep. Most of these baits, are you fish like middle of the column or subsurface, or what do you usually do with them?
Well, it depends on the bait and, like everything on the river, like where we're at with our water height. Obviously, when it's a little bit more clear, I'm going to try to catch them, like moving them quick to the top, mm-hmm. or I'm going to let it sink a little bit and then start kind of slowly moving it out. That's like that's where I like that mag draft, just because when that thing falls, you get that nice shimmy, you get a little bit of head kick in it, and then when you pop it, it's not a bait you're going to burn anyway. So like I'll throw that in like a little deeper pool, let that thing sink for a second or two, and then just kind of pop it, maybe give it a couple pops with my reel or my rod tip just to kind of put a little flutter in it and let it move that way. For like those segmented pieces baits, you can sort of do the same thing. You throw it out there, it'll stink and it'll move, and then you just want to, and it'll pop up, and then it'll throw off to a side.
Yeah,
around. So you can almost, if you think about it, like a fast Senko movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More fun to catch fish on, probably.
Yeah. Way more fun.
Not really, like, but it doesn't matter.
I tell you what, I mean, there's some people who just love catching fish on Senkos, which is nothing wrong with it. They catch tons of fish. I've caught tons of fish on them.
Yep.
But catching a fish on a swim bait, especially once you like take the plunge, like, and catch a fish on a bait like this size, like I have other bluegills, like glide baits and stuff that I've caught fish on, and you catch a bait on this size, and the amount of, especially if you get a front hook set, the amount of ferocity they hit that bait with and how much they fight because they've committed to eating it. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, they hate it.
Oh, I know. They just want to destroy it every time they get near it, and it's awesome.
You need to multiply that when it's a smallmouth doing it.
Well, yeah, they hate everything.
Pure anger. That's another reason.
Have you tried the Big Joshy J5 yet?
No, I don't have any Joshy baits.
You need to get all of them.
I know. I know. We'll leave it at that.
I've been trying to get them on the show, man, but it's kind of hard.
It's also, too, it's like I'm like kind of stocked up on like soft plastics that I like. You know, I'm a sail guy, and I try to not have to do it more than like once a year. And also, too, that's like kind of how like you save money and buy swim baits is you don't buy like every soft plastic.
Yeah.
That's sort of the discipline side, for me anyway. try to focus. If I'm gonna buy a bait, I don't buy a bunch of other stuff beforehand.
Yeah, I hear you.
I just buy everything I see. I don't care.
No, I know if I could walk into some place and buy a big Joshy like that was close to me off the shelf, I would 1,000% be doing that.
I think you would like the J5s. They're.
I think I'd like all of them. I mean, at least that's what Dahl has made me believe. Him and Andrew Hayes.
Yeah.
Man. Monsters.
I was throwing around the 3.25 the other day, and I was catching fish on them. But I've seen guys throwing the 5-inch ones around here and stuff. And some guy caught a 7-pounder out of AAP up here in Columbus.
I believe it. You can do a ton of damage on a 5-inch swim bait.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I've caught, you know, on the smallmouth on the river on those, and not that big ones, you know. Again, just messing around playing with stuff. That's something else I like to do.
Let's do this. What is your PB on your biggest swim bait you have?
When was that? 2 summers ago, I think. I caught a 20-inch largemouth. We can lead into another version of this, the stuff that I think some of them make fun. On this toxic bait micro mink.
That's crazy.
It's bluegill colored. I caught a 20-inch largemouth on the river in August at this little riffle area. It's my biggest fish. It's not a smallmouth, I know, but I have like some 18.5, some 19s on swim baits, smallies in particular. But my actual biggest river fish is this area I fish where there are largemouth. And a big girl who was sitting right where this water runs in a deep little spot and just came up and slurped it. It was a sweet bite. I got to see it even though I was a little ways off. Super cool. But yeah, so the rat.
The rat.
Is that a topwater bait?
Yes, this is a wake bait / crank down. Okay. So technically you can crank down most of the rat style baits. Now this is a toxic bait. This is one that you can get off of his website, Toxic Bait Sucks. He does drops about these. It's another company that I would put on notifications if you're into that kind of stuff. Again, a quick YouTube for toxic baits. You'll learn all kinds of stuff. Easy stuff to find. The guy's name is Caesar. He makes a lot of baits. He's a really good guy. And I like his stuff. So the micro mink is what I have a big fish on.
That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
But to people who were wanting to get going, I just hooked the rod sleeve. Nope. You could always go the Spro route, the BBZ1 rat. I believe this one is a 30, I think, or 25, and this is a 30.
Okay, yeah, it's significantly bigger. I didn't know you had one.
Yeah, buddy, I used to catch largies down south with this all the time. They smash the crap out of this thing.
These little ones here, I mean, you can if you go slow enough with them, they will wake on top. If you fish them a little quicker, you can crank them down. You can catch fish both ways. And the like I said, the Spro BBZ1 rat is probably one of the easiest starter rats. And they make a 25, 30, 40, and 50. And I've never fished it. But this is a 50.
Ooh, that's huge.
Yep.
And this is the biggest one that I have next to it. And I believe from what I've read about the 50 is it is one that wants to stay more on top as a rat, you know, as a waking bait where you just kind of there's rattles in that. I've just not thrown it. So these are very easy to find, the Spro rats. They're pretty good. I would tell anybody if you're looking to start that direction to throw that to begin with, if that's something that interests you. If you are looking for slightly bigger than those 30 and 40 size Spros, there is a company called Trap Bass Baits. This is their house mouse. It's like a 4-inch body or 3 3/4-inch body, little 4-inch tail. I believe this thing weighs around an ounce.
That's not bad.
It's very affordable in the swim bait game. And this size bait will catch you all kinds of fish as well as big fish. I really like this little bait. This is a not intimidating ounce bait at the most that you could throw. If you have a crankbait rod rated to an ounce for like your medium or your deep divers or whatever, definitely could throw this on. Because it is a treble hook bait. It's kind of how you have to play it. That's one that I really, really like.
You can knock out the Achigan wild card with that thing.
1,000%. It's the big meat challenge accepted winner. Because that was my first question when Josh texted me. I was like, tails count, right? He was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, it does. I was like, all right, making sure.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, the rat game is a ton of fun. Obviously, if you're looking for aggressive fish, it's a great summer fall bait. We're probably right there right now, too. With our water temperature, I could probably throw it and make something happen with it fairly soon. The rat bite is fun.
I've actually seen rats like running on the bank on riprap and stuff. So I mean, areas like that, toss that thing in.
I mean, really anywhere. You see some wood, throw it up next to it. You see it behind a boulder or something, like a little mouse fell in or whatever, or under an overhang. I like throwing one under overhangs. But, you know, I'll pitch. I mean, it's almost like throwing a jig or whatever. You know, you'll pitch up underneath something with this guy, let it sit for a second, and then what you can do, too, is you can pop it like you would a walking bait, you know, a shower blows or whatever you like to walk with. And you can move it in place just like you would a rover or whatever walking bait you prefer. It's the same thing. And then when you want to, you slowly reel it, get that thing waking on top. This thing has not a rattle in it, but in the water, once it's moving, it squeaks real hard. And then if you fish a little faster, this will crank down, you know, like 8-10 inches. And you can fish it subsurface. It all depends on speed. And then, you know, there's a top end where it's not going to want to behave the way you want it to, but it's not designed to be ripping.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wake style bait. So, right. You can do damage on these things. So it kind of depends on how you want to fish.
Yeah. The big thing when the rat game started was everyone was like, I remember when I first started reading into it, it's like, oh yeah, it's great for urban areas. Cause it is. Cause obviously we have a ton of rats and you'll see, I think, as much, I don't watch the stuff anymore just cause it got a little gimmicky, but John B did a video back in the day when he went through Dallas and he was fishing a river that runs through Dallas, throwing nothing but a giant rat.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the 50. I mean, it looked like the, size wise, it was bigger than the 110, or the Whopper Plopper 170. Like it was the same size. It was a massive rat.
Yeah.
And he was catching largies left and right on it. And then the
Savage Gear.
Yes, the Savage Gear rat. That's what it was.
Also another YouTube guy who has a great channel by the name of Ty Pig Patrol, where he will pull that thing up in like these tunnels and pull out, you know, Megatron from the darkness, throwing this stupid rat around. But it's a fun bite, you know. Some days it's better than others. I don't know. It's like, it was just one of those things. It's like fun to play with, just because you don't know. I mean, you might catch a giant, but you can catch small fish too. And average fish or bigger than average. If, you know, it's kind of what I'm after. There's only so many 10 and 12 inch gems where I'm like, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
that's why you don't like throwing the Ned rig. Cause you get a bunch of them on there.
I've had to realize some things about my game as of late. And I put together a new finesse combo because I was throwing Ned rigs on casting gear and it was working fine for me, but I was just a little bit too heavy and not necessary. So not recommitted to finesse gear, but I have been more. I have not that combo because you're ridiculous. I have the four-man creeper on sale BFS. It was a Corrado 71, and
it's a great rear. That'll do it all day long.
And I have it on a Shimano Sensolite, a cheapo, full 7-foot light.
Dude, if it works, who cares?
It's a fun little combo. I mean, I play with that too. So that's another thing too. If anyone's still listening to this, is like you know, finesse is great. But my mindset a lot of times is if I can push a little bit bigger, and regardless, like if I'm throwing finesse, like I'll throw like the 4-inch TRD or the
4-inch. I was going to say,
yeah.
Or I'll throw a tube just because I feel like it's a bigger profile and presentation. Like, I don't know. That's kind of like my whole thing. Like, kind of push it a little bit as when I can. Yeah. And like in a tournament, you know, I fish tournaments on the river here for the True Grassroots Bass Yakin, which is a great club, and then also Indiana Kayak Anglers does one here, and what I'll do, I take a swim bait rod now every time, so I will have something tied on where I think we'll play. I'll try to catch a limit, or if I see a certain piece of cover I want to throw something next to, I might start there, and it's worked. A lot of times for a tournament, you know, I'm going to kind of hold off on that and try to find a bigger bite with that. Whatever I'm throwing, again, really depending on where I'm at on the river and what I'm fishing, and water. But yeah, my whole thing is if I can kind of fish quick with it, throw a little speed behind it, I find that has helped me. When I'm talking about a glide bait type bite or like a tiny clash crank down. Or one of the segmented baits where I can just kind of rip on it and move it. But it's kind of, you know, a specific time where I'm doing some of those, whereas a 5-inch paddle tail or the mag slows or the mag draft, you could throw that really a lot of the year and probably find success, depending on how quickly or how slowly you're working that bait.
Yeah,
it's a supernatural bait.
I mean, I know guys who throw the mag drafts in the middle dead of winter and still get smacked on it just because you do, just like everything. When you go into winter, I'll throw a jerk bait in July and I'll catch fish on it.
Yeah,
but obviously my presentation of that jerk bait in July is completely different from my presentation of my jerk bait in January. So it's just, I mean, people work these ridiculously slow, almost like a small bait fish that is super cold and is barely moving. And
or it's an upsized Ned rig and you're creeping this dude right on the bottom. And that's probably, and again, it's all how you think about presentation. A lot of times when you throw these bigger style baits is like, you know, think like my favorite plopper is I call the Diesel. It's the 110. It's the one that I can move. It doesn't roll.
Yeah, I hate that.
The 90, I like the 90, but it just rolls and it kills me. And plus, you can catch plenty of dinkos on all of them. I've caught 4-inch sunfish multiple times on the 110 blobber. But that's a 4.5-inch bait.
Yeah, the 110. Yeah,
and then what? Most of your bigger size walking baits are 5.5-6 inches. Those are big.
Yeah, typically you're looking as about 5 inches, maybe 5.25,
like a spook or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like I like to throw the 125 shower blows. It's not a small bait. It just doesn't weigh an ounce and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really it, and that's where I think the mindset is. You just have to. Okay, you might catch 3 live fish that you're never going to remember again.
Yeah. Yeah,
catch a giant.
That'd be a good show for Chris Slifka to do. Talk about the mindset behind throwing big baits and how to overcome that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, here's what you do. Every time you tie a bait on, you go, "I'm never going to see this again." That's it. And then you just throw it. And if you get, you know, if you lose it, you lose it. I mean, whatever.
Do you find when throwing these things, do you find that you catch or you don't catch as many fish as you would? What's that? Oh, I cut out.
He basically asked. No, you're still good. Can you hear us? Please stand by for technical difficulties.
Can you hear me?
Are you back?
Yeah.
Can you
hear us?
What did you say? I'm sorry, Brad. I don't know what happened.
When throwing swim baits, do you find that you don't catch as many fish or no difference?
You're probably not going to catch as many, but I've had like weird times where I felt like it wasn't affecting catch rate. It was I'll give you a prime example. It's not the river, but it works in this scenario. It was 2 days after Christmas in December, the 27th. It was really warm here. I went to the lovely trash pond and I destroyed them on jerk baits or on glide baits in December. That's not normal.
Yeah.
By any means, but I was throwing other stuff and I wasn't really getting bit. So that day, sure, it worked in that favor. In general, probably not. But yeah. I will say that, like, I do think that you are 100% upsizing most, not all the time, but a lot of time. And if you are struggling maybe to break whatever is considered a larger than normal sized fish in your waterway, whether that's a 15-inch fish, you know, whether that's a 16, whatever it is, I do think you are potentially increasing your chances of catching a fish bigger than that.
Yeah,
just because of the draw power a lot of times. And again, it's also too being smart of where you're casting and knowing what you're casting to.
Like, yep, that's the big thing.
Yeah, I mean, Brad, you said it good on one of our floats, I think 2 weeks ago. You know, you've learned fishing the river as long as you have that you think you, because you went, 12 years without catching a 20? And yeah. In the last 6 months, you've caught like 5. So I think it's like you said, you know, I've learned where to cast, where the bigger fish are sitting. It's kind of the same thing. Like, obviously, if I go to the river and I throw just this around all day, I might get, you know, that's a 9-inch swim bait. I might get a couple. I'm going to get less, in my opinion, just me. Now, some days are different, like the 2 days after Christmas and you're smacking largies with glides. Yeah. But you're going to get less bites. But your quality of fish is going to go up instead of your quantity. So that's how I look at it.
And if you're also looking at it as using it as a tool and you are trying to do some pre-fishing or you're just trying to see what's around and you just bring them out, get a look at it, move them.
That's a good point. Good point on pre-fishing.
You can throw your Ned rig, Brad, all day long right in behind me.
That my 2 3/4-inch Joshy.
Yeah. Tiny. Hate it. No, I'm joking.
I love throwing that in riffles, man. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I don't blame you. I mean, hell, I mean, if I was fishing the GMR, I would be too.
A homing device.
Ryan, it's a staple.
Those guys are freaks, though, dude. I mean, you can catch them.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, they're different. That's different animals. I mean, they're just, Lord.
I was not expecting to be taking the ass kicking I am so quickly, man. No,
none of us did. Well, I kind of guessed Jason would be up there, but
yeah. Well, I always, you know, it's like you can take pictures certain ways, and you're like, I knew Dahl was a hammer. Like there's no question about that. I'm like, yeah, you doing a little bit of a little photography trick there.
Yeah,
not like he was, you know, doing like. Aspiring YouTuber doctoring of photos that you'll see on social media where they're 100% photoshopping and getting called out.
Like what I do?
Yeah, well, you're one of those guys, Brad. One of those guys.
Color splash, man.
No, I'm talking about actually photoshopping fish.
Yeah, oh, okay. They'll stretch the fish out or put a different fish in.
Splash away. Yeah, but you know, you use a fisheye type setting, you can kind of make it look like a certain way. Yeah. Well, turns out Dahl's just that good, and he's catching fish that big.
He is that good. I floated with him a few times. That dude is always laser focused on what he's fishing.
I believe that. I believe.
Like he's on the edge of his seat on his kayak, his back's all straight, and he's like bent over, just going.
I believe it. Yeah, I mean, those guys are good. I got to fish with Shrink over the weekend. He's pretty damn good too. So I got to kind of see his process a little bit.
I want to fish with him, man.
Yeah, we had a good time. We went and saw Uncle Leo and had burritos afterwards, which was stellar. So
we need to come over there and fish, dude. I haven't been over there since 2020.
Let me know.
Dude, I'm down. I'm so down. I hate Ohio, so I'm ready to get out.
Come over and
is your guys' river blown out right now?
Oh, 1,000%. It went up like almost 5 feet. And it's come down, you know, a little bit. It's better than it was.
We're not blown out here. It went up a little bit. It went down, and now it's creeping back up a little bit here.
Yep.
Did you see my story from yesterday? I went down there yesterday, and the water was like at its peak. And because it was the start of this, by the way, the Smalley Games by Cheegan Brand. This month, wild card is the Big Meat Challenge, a moving bait over 7 inches. So I went down and I threw this stupid thing that I bought. I bought it for my UP trip last year for muskie and pike. I never threw it.
Oh, but yeah.
Whopper 190. Good Lord.
You say good Lord, I have caught, that's all I threw. Like in North Carolina, there's this estuary right outside Camp Lejeune, and my buddy be throwing a frog or something. And I'm just launching a 190, smacking fish left and right. Like they just hit it because like, you're too big, get away from me.
Yeah.
And I kept a ton of small, dude, it was awesome.
I don't know what to do. I think if I have a chance to jump out on a spot or two tomorrow, obviously not in my kayak. This will be a bank mission. I'll take it again. Because like you, I know that if you throw it enough, you will catch one on that 8-inch mag draft. It will happen. Especially on GMR. And as I know from what talking to Brad about the GMR, like you guys actually have a little bit of depth on that river in some spots.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you're going to do it. Either that or right at a riffle. It'll be a riffle or a.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I've been thinking a lot about it because it's in my storage unit, my swim bait box, just sitting there right on top. And every time I pull the kayak out and put the box in there, I just stare at it. Yeah. And I'm just like, I need to find some deep water on the GMR and I'll get a smallmouth on it. It'll happen. It'll just hit.
I got the perfect place for you, dude. Come out with me. We'll hit it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's always. That spot I was in the group chat talking to you and Justin about.
Yeah, you'll get that one. I've actually not thrown the 8-inch. It will be though soon, either up north or this summertime. Like I said, I really do like that mag draft in the summer. I think it's an exceptional bait in the summertime.
Heck yeah! Well, you guys got anything else to add, Matt? Anything?
This has been a great episode and super, it's been cool to kind of pick your brain and why you throw stuff certain ways. Like I would never think because to throw not just the mag draft in just the summer, but why it's such a phenomenal bait in the summer. Cause you're right. The water's a little clearer. A lot of their colors are translucent. They're seeing it a little bit better. But yeah, man, I mean, thanks for coming on. This has been great.
No, I had a ton of fun, guys. Thanks for having me. And, we didn't even talk about rods and reels.
it's all good.
Yeah. But, you know,
we talk about that a lot anyway.
Yeah.
It's called a part two.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. There we get into more ridiculous stuff. Let's try to go fishing sometime. I know Brad's talked about it. We've talked about it. And then obviously the IKA Indiana Kayak Anglers White River event is in August.
That's what I was telling you, Matt.
Yeah, we'll be there. Don't worry.
We do the first full week of August. And yeah, we should do that. I want to take Brad down the same stretch we've done just so he can see the ending, what it looks like now versus when we did it, because it's totally different.
Is it really?
The second half of that stretch is there's some, yeah, I think so.
Huh. Interesting.
Yes. Interesting indeed.
I'll pick your brain after I end this.
And there's some big fish on that.
Yeah, I remember that whole stretch specifically. Like, there's spots like, I want to go back there because I didn't catch anything there. I want to go back to that spot.
Yeah. That's not the cool thing about the White River. There's fish all over it, and a lot of people fish north of Indy and absolutely shred. There's some other creeks around that are I'm not going to name those creeks, but
yeah,
I don't really fish, but I know a couple guys that fish and do some of our tournament series, and they're sticks and hammers, and they're throwing glides right now and smashing.
That's awesome.
So wrap it up. Don't be afraid to throw big baits. You'll be all right. Once you tie it on, it's gone. And if you really have reservations, put a 7-inch fluke on a Ned head or something, and you'll sleep fine that night if you lose.
And we need a 10-inch Nick Necrelli
Ned special. Yeah, exactly. That'd be the yeah. It's a big girthy one, right, Brad?
Or yeah, or like a jointed Ned. Like a Ned worm that you just swim.
Like bat flaps on the back.
What is oh you just said that. There's a Japanese company that makes a worm. It's like 24 inches long. And this dude was fishing it. I was like, there's no way. And he was like, oh, he's talking to the camera. He's like, yeah, he's eating it right now. You really have to. I count down from 30 so he gets it all the way into the hook. And he's throwing like a 5-aught hook on it. And he's like 29, 20. And he gets down to one and sets the hook. And the hook is in the front of that fish's mouth with like 25 or 20 inches of worm in its throat.
You've got to appreciate the meticulous dedication to knowing it takes 30 seconds for a 50. That dumb.
Insane, dude. And he'll watch it move and he's like, oh yeah, I'm at 10 seconds. And he'll get down to two, and then you'll just see him whop, and bring it in. And that fish is sitting there with the hook right in the perfect spot.
That would be
crazy.
Yeah, that's incredible. And it doesn't surprise me. But yeah, I mean, hell, you guys ever throw a shaky head on the river?
I have a buddy that does.
That's 7-inch shaky head. Same thing.
Yeah. Right. Chris Yauch does.
Yeah.
He's Chris caught Rob some good does, fish yes. on it. Yeah.
Good bait. All right, guys. Well, I'll let you go. Let me go. Whatever.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for coming on. Everybody, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.
Later.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.